Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second hour of the Arizona Republic, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is the Thursday, June 19th, 2025 issue. My name is Chuck Berry. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader. During this hour, I'll be covering the obituaries, the business news, the local sports scene, and then we'll turn to some opinions and end up with the horoscope and the comics. So I hope you enjoy today's broadcast. I'll begin with the obituaries. Edwina Mimi Carrion Lukes, no age given. Chandler passed away May 19th. Barbara Babs Ann Heidbreder, 88, of Scottsdale, passed June 9th. Irene B. Metz, 95, Scottsdale, passed away June 14th. Juanita Eva Rigolado, 77, of Phoenix, passed June 12th. Jane Landreth Russell, no other information given. Kevin Simmons, 54, no town listed, passed June 8th. Luis Ramon Velasquez, 74, of Phoenix, passed on June 2nd. And Norman Lee Wilson, 95, of Phoenix, passed June 14th. And those are the obituaries for today. I'll page over now to the local business news. APS wants a rate hike. How a 14% bump might affect your utility bill. By Sasha Hoopka of the Arizona Republic and the USA Today Network. Arizona Public Service Company is asking its regulators to approve a $579 million rate increase, an overall 15% bump. The utility also is asking permission to adjust its prices annually under a streamlined rate-setting process and alter its rate design to establish new requirements for data centers and other industrial customers that use vast amounts of energy. The proposed changes come as the utility, which serves 1.4 million customers statewide, seeks to expand its technology and infrastructure to keep up with the state's rapid growth. It is one of the largest rate hike proposals seen in recent years from the company, which last applied for a 13.6% rate increase in 2022. That case closed last year after regulators approved an 8% hike. For an average residential customer, that represented a $10 to $12 monthly increase. APS's latest request would bump the average residential customer's monthly bill by about $20. New rates, if approved, would become effective in mid-2026 at the earliest. President and CEO Ted Geisler said in a statement that the utility is doing what it can to keep costs down. It offers various plans to help customers lower their electric bills in line with their energy usage habits. Rebates for those who take steps to make their homes more energy efficient, and assistance options for those struggling to pay. But officials say inflation, high interest rates, and supply chain volatility have raised the cost of service. Economic growth, increased wildfire risk, and extreme heat are also necessitating further utility investment in the energy grid. Reliability isn't optional, it's essential, especially in Arizona, Geisler said. We must ensure the power is there when our customers need it most, and we thank them for trusting us with their energy needs. That is what this rate case and proposed adjustment are about. What's included in the proposed rate increase? APS is seeking increased rates to help cover the costs of new infrastructure, wildfire mitigation efforts, and more, according to filings submitted June 13th to the Arizona Corporation Commission. The new expenses are heavily tied to growth and climate change. The utility is serving a rapidly expanding customer base during a period of dramatic economic and population growth in Arizona, and those customers are using more power as summer temperatures rise. APS set a new record for energy demand last summer, with peak usage reaching more than 8,200 megawatts as temperatures hit highs of 116 in August. New technology is also driving up costs. In the coming decades, electric demand is expected to increase significantly nationwide as consumers turn toward electric vehicles, advanced manufacturing hubs come online, and artificial intelligence and other data-intensive technologies grow. APS said in its filings it has invested in clean energy generation, battery storage, and other technology to ensure a reliable and resilient energy grid that can keep pace with the state's growth. The utility is installing smart grid technology to help reroute power to customers' homes during outages, improving restoration times. It is also taking steps to protect its infrastructure from wildfires, such as installing advanced smoke detection cameras in fire-prone areas and wrapping up its power poles in fire-resistant mesh. But these efforts cost money, and utility officials say current rates aren't keeping up with costs. Those prices were based on 2021 and 2022 expenses. APS's new request would set rates based on last year's numbers. The utility, which is publicly traded, is also seeking to make a 10.7% return on equity. Its current return rate is set at 9.55%. APS asks to use new policy allowing annual rate adjustments. Utility officials hope to take advantage of a new policy that will allow them to adjust rates annually. The policy established a streamlined rate-setting process, allowing for smaller increases or decreases based on a pre-established formula. Rate changes still require a vote by the Arizona Corporation Commission, but the policy lays out a new, faster way for regulators to evaluate such requests. Upon approving the new process, commissioners said so-called formula rates would be monitored closely to ensure that utilities do not earn too much relative to the cost of providing service, plus a reasonable return on investments. They also promised annual audits of underlying costs. After five annual updates, utilities using the abbreviated process must file a new rate case, allowing for a more robust evaluation. Rate cases are notoriously lengthy. It is common for them to take upwards of a year to get through the commission, and utilities have long held that the recently passed policy will help customers by providing a more timely reflection of the cost of service and avoiding large rate jumps. APS officials also noted that similar formula rate plans are already used in several other states. Consumer advocates, including the Arizona Attorney General's Office, Arizona Center for Law and the Public Interest, Sierra Club, Residential Utility Consumer Office, and more, have expressed fears that formula rates could lead to higher bills over time. They said the faster process gave utilities less incentive to operate efficiently, and transparently. APS's rate case will be one of the first tests of the new policy, which was established last year on a narrow 3-2 vote. Regulators have yet to approve any utility to use a formula rate plan, although several have requested to do so in recent filings. Utility proposes rate design changes for big energy users and solar customers. Large energy users would see new charges under the utility's rate change application. APS said in its filings they want to make sure customers pay for the cost of building infrastructure to accommodate their energy needs. It also seeks to impose energy minimums, meaning certain large customers would be charged for a minimum amount of power that they commit to using monthly, regardless of how much they actually use. Those rules would apply to customers using more than 5,000 kilowatts of power monthly at a single premises. That's equivalent to 5 big-box retail stores operating at maximum power around the clock. The proposal specifically targets energy-thirsty data centers, which are increasingly popping up around Metro Phoenix. Such facilities house row upon row of computer stacks and related equipment that support team emails, video gaming, online business transactions, and other everyday functions, plus emerging cloud computing, artificial intelligence, and other digital needs. Geisler said in a written testimony to utility regulators that the energy demanded by those facilities is rapidly increasing to levels previously unheard of in the industry. He framed the utility's efforts to impose new rules as a matter of protecting other customers and ensuring that growth pays for growth. The utility also is seeking to increase the fee it charges residential solar customers in line with a commission directive from its most recent rate case. The average proposed increases range from $3.45 to $4.07 per month for the average-sized solar system, 10 kilowatts DC. Utility officials said that change is intended to reduce cross-subsidization among its residential customers. And that completes the article. You can reach the author, Sasha Hupka, at sasha.hupka@arizonarepublic.com or 480-271-6387. Our next article is New Arizona Hotels Inspire Outdoor Adventures by Michael Salerno of the Arizona Republic and USA Today Network. Rooms at one of Arizona's newest hotels have a storage area for guests' outdoor equipment and hiking boots. Another new hotel partners with tour agencies to offer astrophotography and stargazing excursions, sells binoculars and field guides, and has s'mores kits by the outdoor fireplace. These hotels cater to continued interest in ecotourism, and they've opened near 2 of Arizona's most famous natural landmarks, Sedona and the Grand Canyon. Trailborn Grand Canyon opened in March in a former motel on Route 66 in Williams, south of Grand Canyon National Park. Mountain Modern Sedona, a renovation and rebrand of the Sedona Real Inn and Suites, opened at the end of April. Both were among the Arizona Republic's most anticipated hotel openings and renovations of 2025. For the owners of Mountain Modern, a new hotel brand whose Arizona location is the former Sedona Real Inn and Suites, appealing to travelers visiting for outdoor pursuits involves emphasizing the destination over the property. Jamie Yarrow, president of hospitality with hotel owner The Yarrow Group, said he applied what he learned from his work on the brand's first hotel in Jackson, Wyoming, a ski resort town not far from Grand Teton National Park, to develop the Sedona Hotel. One in-room amenity that Yarrow described as a statement is a storage area called a gear wall, where guests can stash hiking boots and sporting equipment. "We've always felt watching what guests do outside the hotels as much as inside is important," he said. "We have these amenities that might not be perceived as the sexiest thing in the world, but thoughtful and think about the people coming into the hotel. What would make it easier for them?" Mountain Modern's locations are near national parks, forests, and other landmarks, Yarrow said. To create a competitive advantage, he focused on developing a brand with a bit of an edge that addresses active travelers' needs. That includes a team of concierge called Wise Guides, dispensing knowledge of Sedona and surrounding areas, a dining option called The Den, with rotating food and cocktail specials, fireplaces, sitting areas, and games, and a new lobby built to resemble the inside of a rustic mountain lodge, complete with a stone fireplace. "I think it plays right along with the community we build these in," Yarrow said. "There's not a lot of people who come to Sedona and are not looking for some sort of outdoor adventure. We built this for their soul." Trailborn Grand Canyon leans into Western ambience. Trailborn operates boutique hotels in Estes Park, Colorado, near Rocky Mountain National Park, and Highlands, North Carolina, near the Blue Ridge Mountains. Its Arizona hotel is on Route 66 in Williams, about 60 miles from the south entrance of Grand Canyon National Park. It's the fourth hotel for the brand, which began in 2023 with its Colorado location. Trailborn co-founders and co-CEOs Mike Weiss and Ben Weinberg said their mission is to inspire travel to some of the most iconic outdoor destinations. Grand Canyon was a natural fit. The motel partners with local tour agencies to offer Grand Canyon excursions, including hiking, stargazing, and helicopter tours, Weinberg said. The motel's market sells binoculars, field guides, and coolers. The property has abundant communal space, including the pool and hot tub area, an event lawn with cornhole and fire pits. S'mores kits are available, and a meeting and event space called the Camp Hall. Activities include movie nights and Wild West bingo, and guests can borrow bikes for free. Trailborn's restaurant, Miss Kitty's, serves contemporary Southwestern cuisine. The menu from executive chef Paul Beatty, a former contestant on the Food Network series Chopped, includes slow-cooked short ribs and barbecued cauliflower tacos. Weiss and Weinberg saw potential in Williams not only for its access to the Grand Canyon, but also for attractions like the Grand Canyon Railway that make it a destination in its own right. The city's profile has been increasing. HGTV recently declared it Arizona's most charming downtown. Tourism to Sedona and Grand Canyon is increasing. Mountain Modern arrived in Sedona as more travelers experienced the city for its red rock buttes, wellness spas, and pink Jeep tours. Sedona received 3.28 million visits in 2021 and 3.2 million visits in 2022, both up from pre-pandemic levels, according to a visitor study by Kim Lee Horn and Associates, compiled for the Sedona City Council. A study from Tourism Economics showed 1.6 million overnight visitors in 2021 and 1.5 million overnight visitors in 2022. Trailborn opened during a bustling period as well. National Park Service data showed Grand Canyon had 4.9 visitors in 2024, up from 4.7 million in 2022 and 2023, and the most visitors since the pandemic. Its visitation record is just under 6.4 million in 2018. Adaptive reuse gives new life to older hotels. Trailborn and Mountain Modern are part of a trend of renovating vintage or outdated hotels known as adaptive reuse. Flagstaff, another destination that appeals to nature lovers and the winner of the Republic's 2024 road trip bracket, is home to two motels that were adaptive reuse projects. High Country Motor Lodge opened in 2022 inside a former Howard Johnson and Days Inn on Route 66. The Colorado River-themed motels features include Arizona's first Nordic spa, which uses hot and cold therapy to soothe the mind and body. Americana Motor Hotel, a renovated hotel on Route 66 that was built in 1962, opened in 2023 with a retro, futuristic theme inspired by Flagstaff's legacies of Route 66 tourism and astronomy. It has a Mexican restaurant called Baja Mar and a yard with a pool, fire pits, games, and hammocks. Both hotels have attracted not just adventure travelers, but also people who come to see historic Route 66, said Ryan Randazzo, spokesman for Discover Flagstaff. Travelers like Americana, with its proximity to Sunset Crater Volcano, Wupatki and Walnut Canyon National Monuments, Randazzo said, as well as U.S. 89 and its access to Lake Powell, Horseshoe Bend, and the east entrance of Grand Canyon National Park. High Country's location at the base of Mars Hill below Lowell Observatory appeals to stargazers. The new adventure hotels work to do something similar in the cities they serve. Trailborn is the latest iteration of a Williams Roadside Lodge that was first the Thunderbird Inn. According to Route66Times.com, a travel website run by Route 66 travelers Ken and Dolores Bogren, the Thunderbird Inn opened in 1957 and advertised as many as 96 rooms during its run. It changed hands multiple times since the 1970s and most recently was a Red Roof Plus motel. At Mountain Modern, the former Sedona Real's large guest rooms and a park in the back of the property were assets, Yarrow said. His team tried to envision how guests will use the space and how it can be distinguished from competing hotels. We want the Mountain Modern brand to be very thoughtful and think about the people who are coming to use the hotel. What would make it just that much easier of a stay for them? Weiss of Trailborn said setting out to create a memorable experience is important because of the long distances people travel to reach Arizona's iconic natural landmarks. And that completes the article. The title was New Arizona Hotels Inspire Outdoor Adventures by Michael Salerno of the Arizona Republic and the USA Today Network. And that completes the business news for today. So I'll page over to the local sports news. The lead article is Miller Time is Up. Diamondbacks fall to Blue Jays with comeback in ninth. By Jose M. Romero of the Arizona Republic and the USA Today Network. Maybe Shelby Miller's good run was due to end. The Diamondbacks' closer was unscored upon in eight straight outings. He'd held hitters to a 0.095 average against his splitter, and left-handed hitters were batting .080 against him. Miller had also held opponents without a home run in 15 consecutive games, but that all changed with two swings in the bottom of the ninth inning on Tuesday, June 17th, at Rogers Center. Back-to-back home runs from Bo Bichette and Addison Barger off Miller sent the Toronto Blue Jays to a walk-off, come-from-behind 5-4 win. Both hit Miller splitters, Barger a left-handed hitter. The Diamondbacks, 36-36, were two outs from a win that would have been a confidence booster to open a 9-game road trip. These are tough times. Just a couple of splitters, Miller said after the game. Yeah, they were down. They were just in the strike zone. From what I saw, it kind of looked like they were sitting on them. Miller had two strikes on both hitters. In hindsight, he thought he could have gone back to a fastball or another pitch. Splitter has been good all year. They were just bottom of the zone for strikes, Miller said. Just execute better next time. Eugenio Suarez's two-out single in the seventh inning drove in Ketel Marte with a run to give the Diamondbacks a 4-2 lead. But it didn't hold up. The Blue Jays made it 4-3 on a Vladimir Guerrero single off reliever Jalen Beeks in the bottom of the seventh. Then Juan Murillo struck out three Blue Jays in the eighth, setting things up for Miller to earn another save. It wasn't to be. That's how unforgiving this game is, and it can turn around in a second, Diamondbacks manager Torrey Lovello said. Shelby just made a couple of bad pitches, and they took advantage of it. Lovello said Miller is trusted and would get the ball the next day if in a save situation. The Diamondbacks also figure to get catcher Gabriel Moreno back from missing Tuesday's game with a sore right hand. Starting pitcher Brandon Fatt put together an outing that kept his team in the game. He hit two batters with pitches in the fourth inning, but got out of a bases-loaded jam in that inning and allowed two runs on four hits with a walk and three strikeouts in five innings. Just trying to go deep into games and alleviate some pressure on the bullpen, Fatt said. We knew they were going to come out and be aggressive. We just needed to make the right pitches and try to be as efficient as possible. But perhaps no moment more resonated with Diamondbacks fans on Tuesday than when first baseman Josh Naylor hit a double off the center field wall in the fifth inning, then put his hands on his head in distress as he watched former teammate Miles Straw crash into the wall, trying to catch Naylor's deep drive. As trainers ran to attend Straw on the warning track, Naylor walked all the way from second base to check on his friend. Fans on social media were quick to praise Naylor for a gesture rarely seen in high-level baseball. Straw was announced as having sprained his right ankle on the play. He left the game. Naylor had a good homecoming, the Toronto area native finishing with two hits and a run batted in. We got really close over our years in Cleveland, and I'm very thankful for the relationship we have, Naylor said of Straw. I hated to see him go down. He's like a brother to me, so I just wanted to make sure he was all right. Naylor said he was also tight with Straw's family. I don't want to see him hurt, Naylor said. Miller said Naylor checking on a former teammate is just who he is. Josh has been great the whole time he's been here, Miller said. Josh Naylor, back home, hopes to play with brothers in WBC. Hours before first pitch here on Tuesday, June 17th, Naylor was doing his pregame work in a Diamondbacks custom-made hockey jersey. Naylor has quite a collection of hockey jerseys, from NHL players from the past to lower-tier Canadian hockey. For example, a Saskatoon Blades Western Hockey League sweater. Naylor spent the team's day off in Toronto on June 16th, visiting his parents and running errands. The next day, he sat in the visitor's dugout, answering questions from several local reporters. Naylor said baseball continues to grow in the Toronto area, his best friends growing up playing baseball. But he had his hockey friends, too, even though hockey was only a seasonal sport for him. Naylor said he would be honored to wear the Canada jersey at next year's World Baseball Classic, ideally with his younger brothers Bo, a catcher for the Cleveland Guardians, and Miles, an athletics prospect. Love to represent my friends from back here and wear Canada across my chest, Naylor said. That situation, my situation, is a little bit different, because I'm a free agent next year, and if the team allows me to play, I would 100% do it. I don't know. When that time arises, I'll deal with it then. Even though I talked about it with my family about how cool that would be. His parents have made plans to be in Puerto Rico for WBC pool play next March, hopeful that their sons can share the experience. The Naylor's cousin, Denzel Clark, also from Toronto, is currently playing for the Athletics. With Major League Baseball's annual draft coming up, Naylor was asked about his experience with the draft. In 2015, he went 12th overall to the Miami Marlins, and on a six-hour layover from a flight from the Dominican Republic, did a pre-draft workout in late May of that year with the Marlins at their Major League ballpark. Get back to the airport, checked back in, and met my teammates at the gate, Naylor said. Maybe that was it for them. They saw enough and they wanted to take me with that pick. That experience was kind of crazy. Lavallo said Naylor has shown the ability to change his approach like people change moods. It's very unpredictable and he's always in control, Lavallo said. He's been a welcome addition to this ball club. We're in the position we are right now because of him. Manager recalls Toronto days. Lavallo looked back on his 2 years as first base coach for the Blue Jays, the 2011 and 12 seasons. He recalled how the fans could make games exciting and provide an atmosphere. He also said his place of residence was very close to Rogers Center, home of the Blue Jays. I loved Toronto. It was 2 great years. Met some unbelievable people, Lavallo said. Still have friends here in this organization, and I'll have for life. I lived across the street. One of the main things I remember is I could be sitting in my living room and 4.5 minutes later be looking at my locker. It was so unique. That's how close I lived. Gabriel Moreno out of lineup. Moreno was originally in Tuesday's lineup but was scratched with right-hand soreness before the game. Jose Herrera replaced Moreno, batting 9th. Moreno injured the same hand earlier this month in Cincinnati and missed a few games but didn't go on the injured list. Also, left-handed reliever A.J. Puck will see Dr. Neil Altuve in Los Angeles on Thursday for an opinion on his injured throwing elbow. And relief pitcher Kendall Graveman threw out to 75 feet on Tuesday. and is feeling better, Lovello said. Graveman is on the 15-day injured list with right hip impingement. That completes the article. The title was Miller Time is Up by Jose Romero of the Arizona Republic and the USA Network. The second article is Villanova All-Time Scorer to Work Out with Suns by Dwayne Rankin of the Arizona Republic and the USA Today Network. Eric Dixon is a 5-year product of what has made Villanova one of the premier college basketball programs over the last 10-plus years. It's the kind of people that Villanova helps mold, said Dixon, who redshirted his first year there in 2019-20. Villanova recruits a certain type of guy. They also can mold and make you a certain type of person. Dixon finished his college career as the school's all-time leading scorer with 2,314 points. A third-team All-American in his final year at Villanova, Dixon led the nation in scoring at 23.3 points per game. He now looks to join a list of Villanova players in the NBA, currently at 9, with one being Phoenix Suns two-way player Colin Gillespie, who was his teammate at Villanova. I think the values that we talk about every single day in our organization are something that a lot of NBA organizations value, Dixon said. Dixon has a pre-draft workout scheduled in Phoenix this week. The Suns have the 29th overall pick in the first round and the 52nd overall selection in the June 25th-26th draft. All these places are high level, said Dixon, who completed his 11th visit Tuesday with the Golden State Warriors. At 6'8", 258 pounds, with essentially a 7-foot wingspan, Dixon, 24, has the size to score inside, but he also shot 40.7% from 3 on 7.2 attempts. He's a guy that puts in the work, said then-Villanova interim head coach Mike Nardi, after Dixon became the school's all-time leading scorer. He comes in every day and he gets up extra shots. He's a great teammate and he's great to the Villanova community. That's what all of our guys have learned to do here. It's very special just seeing his progression and development. Dixon first named twins Marcus and Markieff F. Morris when asked who he compares himself to when it comes to his size and skill set. He then mentioned Charlotte Hornets forward Grant Williams before linking himself to Draymond Green, a 4-time NBA champion with the Warriors. Who I want to be at the highest level is a highest level connector, Dixon said. The best one is at Golden State in Draymond Green, just the way he connects to team on both ends of the floor. For me, a guy who wants to stick around in this league, that's kind of my route. And that ends the article, Villanova All-Time Scorer to Work Out with the Suns, by Dwayne Rankin of the Arizona Republic and the USA Today Network. And that's all the time we have for sports. I'm going to move to some opinions today. The first is by Lori Roberts, a columnist for the Arizona Republic. The title is Rich Kids Need Our Help to Pay for Their Piano Lessons. Keep your eye on the Arizona legislature over the next few days to see if our leaders mount an 11th-hour operation to try to give constitutional protection to the state's universal school voucher program. Meanwhile, 12 News's Craig Harris reports that taxpayers are shelling out $20 million this year for such academic imperatives as dance, piano, and private swimming lessons. Also, gymnastics and horseback riding. Okay, some of the $1.1 million we spent on horses may be justified if it's for children with special needs. There's no way to tell. Ditto for the $2 million spent on math tutors. But $1 million for piano lessons? $1.6 million for dance lessons? $2.8 million for swimming lessons? $1.8 million for gymnastics? And another $2.3 million for martial and fitness arts? In the language of public school parents, such things are called extracurricular activities, and they, not taxpayers, pay for them. Speaking of horses, look for the mostly well-to-do parents in the Empowerment Scholarship Account Program to gallop away with $1 billion in public money next year as the Universal Voucher Program, the one our leaders created to supposedly get poor children out of failing public schools, continues to explode. The program, originally created to help special needs children, then expanded to certain other children, cost taxpayers $176 million in 2022. That year, then Governor Doug Ducey and the legislature expanded Arizona's school voucher program to all children. These kids are trapped in failing public schools, then Governor Doug Ducey said in signing the bill in June 2022. It's time to set these families free. The cost to taxpayers of setting these families free will exceed $1 billion in the coming school year. Lest you believe Republicans' tall tale about lifting poor children out of educational poverty, various analyses have shown it's the well-to-do children in some of the valley's most comfortable suburbs whose parents are now scooping up taxpayer cash. The poorer the zip code, the fewer the ESAs. Harrison recently reported that nearly 62% of the state's more than 86,000 ESAs are going to homes with incomes of more than $76,872, the state's median in household income. More than a third are going to those making more than $100,000 a year, including more than 700 children in the poverty-stricken town of Paradise Valley. It's difficult to pay for piano lessons, after all, when you live in a community where the median household income is a mere $182,150. And before our leaders wax on about all the money we are saving by getting destitute kids out of the despised public schools, Harris has reported that at least 45% of the children now getting ESAs were never in the public schools to begin with. Many of their parents already were paying tuition to private schools. Now we are. So here's where we should be talking about the kind of controls our leaders will add to their 3-year universal ESA program before they adjourn for the year. Things like a cap on the amount of public money that wealthy people can tap to subsidize their kids' private tuition bills. In January, Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs proposed that anyone hauling in more than $200,000 a year should pay their own kids' tuition, with those earning between $100,000 and $200,000 qualifying for smaller outlays of public cash. Her plan was dead on arrival at the Republican-run legislature. She also has proposed putting what seemed like reasonable controls on the program, meaning you'd have to shell out your own money to turn little Emma into a world-class equestrian, or to buy her a kayak, or a ski pass, or an espresso machine. Also DOA, State Superintendent Tom Horn has attempted to rein in the most outrageous parts of the runaway program, refusing to approve public outlays of cash for such educational necessities as a $16,000 cello, a $5,000 Rolex watch, and a $24,000 golf simulator. That brought him a MAGA challenge. The Arizona Freedom Caucus has recruited term-limited state treasurer Kimberly Yee to challenge Horn in next year's Republican primary. You don't mess around with the Republicans' holiest of sacred cows. In fact, the only ESA reform that's been talked about at the legislature this year is a plan to hold the public schools hostage unless voters agree to cement vouchers for all into the Arizona Constitution, specifically to ask voters in 2026 to extend the soon-to-expire Proposition 123, allotting $300 million in state land proceeds to fund teacher pay raises, but only if they also agree to add constitutional protections for little Emma and her horse, Bluebell. One would think that you could refer the two proposals to the ballot as separate questions, as the law would seem to require. But our leaders aren't that dumb. They know what voters would do if given the chance. Their plan to tie teacher pay in public schools to constitutional protection for vouchers is supposedly dead. But be warned, no bad idea really dies until our leaders finally, at long last, adjourn and go the heck home. Keep your eyes peeled, Arizona. You can reach Roberts at lori.roberts@arizonarepublic.com. The name of her column today was Rich Kids Need Our Help to Pay for Their Piano Lessons. Our second opinion today comes from Abigail Van Buren in her Dear Abby column, Husband Quick to Pass Judgment on Others' Behavior. Dear Abby, in the 4 years my husband and I have been married, his distaste for the LGBTQ community has grown into a passion. He calls it immoral and unnatural. I've never tried to change his opinion, but because I don't enthusiastically agree with him, he is convinced I'm going to hell. He uses nearly every conversation as an opportunity to share his feelings on this issue. Any response I volunteer goes unheard. Shortly after our wedding, my father revealed he is gay. Thankfully, my husband can be kind to him while disapproving of his sexuality. I'm not sure Dad knows the extent of my husband's negative feelings. They live in different states, so they rarely see each other. My problem is my father recently became engaged to his partner, and I'm not sure how to tell my husband. I'm not asking him to agree with my dad's life, but I don't want him to steal my joy over this event and make me feel guilty for going to their wedding. I will certainly be going alone. Advice, Abby? Signed, Allie in Michigan. Dear Allie, yes, I do have some. However, it is more far-reaching than you may expect. That your husband discounts or doesn't hear what you need to communicate to him does not bode well for the future of your marriage. Your father's sexual orientation may be abhorrent to your husband, but it is not unnatural. If you wish to attend your father's wedding, do it, and do not feel guilty for supporting him at this important time. You are not going to hell for loving and accepting your father. Quite the opposite, in fact. Dear Abby, we have been friends with a couple for many, many years. Unfortunately, someone took some items out of their house. Our long friendship is now over because they think we stole from them. Although they have gotten over it, we cannot. They say it's in the past and it's time to move on. They can't understand that we feel so insulted that we no longer want to remain friends with them. They never offered an apology, which makes us feel they still doubt us. Are we oversensitive? Signed, Innocent in New Hampshire. Dear Innocent, no, you are not. In light of the fact that you never received an apology for the wrongful accusation, it makes sense that you not put yourselves in the position of being accused again. Dear Abby, my stepdaughter-in-law and I had words several months ago. Within a few days, I received an apology, and I apologized to her for my response. Since then, she has blocked me and told a mutual friend she won't be coming to family gatherings, which she rarely attended anyway. We recently attended a funeral of a close friend. She came, but I noticed she seemed unusually quiet and uncomfortable. She barely spoke unless spoken to, but did hug me goodbye. Should I ask her why she blocked me, or let it go? Sign, Confounded in Texas. Dear Confounded, your stepdaughter-in-law is starting to thaw. If I were you, I would let sleeping dogs lie. You can contact Dear Abby at dearabby.com. That's a capital D and a capital A. And the title of her article today was Husband Quick to Pass Judgment on Others' Behavior. That ends the opinion today, so we'll look at today's horoscope. Aries, March 21st to April 19th. What are your instincts saying? The Aries moon inspires you while also casting an illusory haze. Cut through the fog. Taurus, April 20th to May 20th. The subconscious holds an arsenal of secrets. Gaining access to buried insight, the Aries moon has hidden messages to share. Gemini, May 21st to June 21st. Future visions go off like fireworks in your head. The world can feel like your oyster. Cancer, June 22nd to July 22nd. Dissolution in your professional world can have your wheels spinning. What are the options? Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd. Asking the big life questions, the Aries moon can spark a spiritual dialogue that plays out all day long. Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd. Feel into the ways you're changing. Transformative energies swirl around you. Social anxiety may result. Libra, September 23rd to October 23rd. Will you let it go, or will you say something? The Aries moon can have you hovering between both options. Scorpio, October 24th to November 21st. Work can feel like a grind when you have freedom on your mind. Longing to get out of your tasks? Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st. Just joking around? Watch your words. An impulsive comment may strike a chord in someone else. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th. Can't believe they said that? Overreactions are likely. Relational communications can resurface old issues. Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th. Starting is half the battle. The Aries moon can pile up potential work, but lacks the focus to do it. And Pisces, February 19th to March 20th. Financial issues may zap your brain. A fun activity may be a desired distraction. And that's the horoscope for today, Thursday, June 19th. I'm going to end the broadcast today with a few of the comics. We'll start with Garfield. The scene is Garfield is having a birthday and his owner is presenting him with a birthday cake. He says, "Happy birthday, Garfield. There's no one like you." Garfield says, "And you're very lucky. I could have been twins." And next is Peanuts. We have Lucy grabbing a fishing pole, and Sally is looking on saying, "You're going to take me fishing? That's great. I don't know anything about fishing." And they're walking toward the lake, and Lucy says, "Well, what we'll do is we'll go down on the dock, and see if there are any fish in the lake. And the next scene is Sally is diving into the lake yelling, "I see one!" And Lucy says, "You just paddle around there for a while, and I'll explain about these poles." Pickles is up next. The scene is Earl's wife is talking to the dog. She says, "Roscoe, are you the one who chewed up my book?" The dog is saying, "Who, me?" She says, "Look at this, there's teeth marks all over it." Dog says, "It could have been anyone." She says, "There are paw prints all over it." The dog says, "Circumstantial evidence at best." And then she says, "And the pages are all dog-eared." And the dog says, "Busted." I'll end the comics with Blondie. The scene is Blondie is talking to Dagwood at work. Blondie says, "Dear, I have some bad news. Are you sitting down?" Dagwood says, "I'm sitting down. What is it?" Blondie says, "Are you sure you're sitting down?" Dagwood says, "I'm sure." Blondie says, "Are you super sure?" Dagwood says, "I have a feeling I should be lying down." That completes the comics, and that also completes the broadcast today. I hope you enjoyed the last hour. This has been the second hour of the Arizona Republic, the Thursday, June 19th, 2025 issue, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. My name is Chuck Berry. It's been my privilege to be your volunteer reader today. Stay well, stay safe, have a wonderful week, and keep listening to the premium programming offered by Sun Sounds of Arizona. And if you missed an article you'd like to hear, go to the sunsounds.org website, then click on Broadcast Info and Audio. On the next page, click on the words Demand Podcasts. You'll see a list of articles available to you. Hopefully, you'll find the one you're looking for. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today.